Hey guys, welcome to the NGC cast. I'm Shadonix.
I'm Darkseid.
One of you two? Yeah.
I'm LNU.
And we are the only people currently making up this podcast, even though Garda and Tohu should be here.
Camping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, this is our first episode. We have a guest host, Kahi Nuva, who's going to be coming on later. He's busy doing something for another podcast, parentheses, grr. So, until then, we're just going to be discussing some comic series. First, alright, so, I'll just talk a bit about Civil War. Civil War is the largest MAS multi-author series on BC Power. It consists of, I believe, 28 authors.
Isn't Universe Draft bigger?
What? No, not even close. Civil War is like 28.
I wish.
Universe Draft is 12.
Oh, my bad. Who is that talking to?
Second.
All right, continue. I digress.
You'd be proud of. So Civil War was an MAS started by the Venom and Gavla. It's pretty much about the Comic Land, and Hapori Tohu hasn't been active in, like, forever, and everyone's falling into poverty, so Gavla, who was at the time the second most popular comic maker on BC Power, but now he's surpassed Dark 709.
Yay!
Just to say, noobs have another Hal-wearing Matoran to worship. So...
It's wonderful.
Maybe I should wear a Hal.
Yeah.
Dark and Gat. Alright, so... Civil War, Gavla decides that he is going to basically steal Tohu's power to help the people. And Venom doesn't want this to happen. So they both pretty much raise these huge armies.
Of
let me
14
just,
authors each.
Yeah, Gavla's army is him, Gennaro, Philip Nova, Vigor Mortis, NR, Xfear, Kahi, Zahaki, Scorpio, Makito, Zakitani.
Yeah, he's going to win. He's got Makito.
And Derez.
Yeah.
Automatic win.
And Rigel, which is Venom's team, has him, Garda, parentheses, that dude who should be here right now. I bought the Borok board, Eye Penguin, Jolly, Ikad, Vakoro, D-Shadow, LJ, and Zippy. So, let's talk about the series, maybe go over a few comics. The first comic starts with Scorpio talking to the camera, and Gavla, Kahi, and Filbert are on the sidelines. Scorpio's like a news reporter in this for a network called Llamas, or...
Yay, Llamas.
Lots of laughs.
Tell TS about that. He'd love that. So, he's interviewing Gavla about how it is to be the second most popular comic maker on BC Power, and meanwhile, Venom and his group are watching it on TV. So, now, Gavla just leaves, and he bumps into a cameo of Dokuma.
Huh.
And yeah. Dokuma's like, what?
That's
yeah,
Dokuma?
It's Dokuma. Or at least, I'm pretty sure that's
I can
Dokuma.
Hardly tell.
Or at least it's someone who looks heck of a lot like Dokuma.
Pretty close.
So, he's talking to Dokuma, and Dokuma's like pretty much telling him about what it's like to be homeless. So, Gavla makes this remark, which the Dokuma cameo misconstrues into being racist. So, they go into the BCP library, and Zahaki's there, who has this crazy huge head.
Is that even an RZ Vaki head?
I have no idea, because I can't find that in RZ.
It's weird they killed him.
He shows them this, like, scroll, which is all about where Tohu's power comes from, yada yada, so then Gavla is giving this big speech in front of everyone in the Comic Line and pretty much announces his idea. And Venom gets a quote-unquote, that twisted look.
That, yeah. Oh, okay.
Good or bad.
Wow, that is twisted.
It's a weird look. Like, if there were someone standing next to me with that kind of a face and that kind of a look, like,
yeah.
I wouldn't talk to him, I'd run. That's pretty much how it all starts, and then the other two parts of the prologue are Venom planning for his army. The last one is them actually stealing Tohu's power, but I think Venom stops them, and
also
then it kind of takes off.
Blow up a lawnmower. blow up a lawnmower in the second part.
Yeah.
No, that's a snowmobile.
Oh, yeah, that's Archer and Makito's. I always forget. I mean, well, yeah, they are brothers, so I guess it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, Makito probably made it, but...
True, knowing him.
He not wrote it, though. Like, he wrote it in the Christmas comic. So
yeah,
I think it's
yeah.
It.
So...
That's awesome.
Then there's some other comics by Venom, Jolly, NR, X-Fire, Phil...
Nova, Big Shadow, LJ, Makito, Zahaki, and Takatano.
Thank you, Gat.
Welcome.
Some of those were pretty good. NR,
yeah.
As always, was absolutely awesome. But with him, in the end, where he's, like, looking out the window with his reflection, that
yeah.
Perfect.
I think...
And then, do you guys remember that one arc NR had in his daily strip, the non-sequitur arc?
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
That's,
yeah.
What
do you
that's
mean?
Where they had the,
yes.
What do you mean line? Oh, man.
Yeah, what do you mean?
Right there. Gavla looks kind of bald without his hat.
X-Fears was pretty good. I'm always debating on whether or not to call him X-Fear or X-Fire. He's got two characters in there from his series Quest. Quest has to be one of the greatest plot-based series I've ever read.
Okay, I've never read it.
Well, you should. It's pretty much a spin-off of Homestuck. It's
I've
like,
read some
oh.
Of it.
It's like UT, but a solo series.
Okay.
It's awesome.
Cool.
It's even got flashes. I tried to get him as an author, but he never responded.
Darn.
Darn indeed. Yeah, so it's got two characters. One is one of the main characters of Lyra, and another one is actually one of the villains, the Rose Makuta.
Oh, okay.
For whatever reason, X-Fire himself isn't in Civil War, but the other characters from Quest are.
Yeah.
And then in the end, they're just confronting Borak Lord, Jalki, and I think that's Vakoro, but yeah, that's Vakoro.
Yeah, yeah.
That's Vakoro.
And I think he wounds Vakoro and kidnaps him, and for whatever reason, Jolly has a pair of wings. In his comic, I don't recall him having wings.
Hmm.
What do you think, Zuppa?
Maybe he can, like, plural them at random.
Yeah.
Random times.
But the effect with the smoke in the part where the Rose Makuta says, an example, Vakoro, of what we can do, what Pass can do, that smoke effect was pretty good, and how you just see his eyes in the background, that's pretty cool.
Love
all the glowing parts on the character. Nice stuff.
Yeah. Then Philip Nova's comic was pretty funny with the line, don't you think that explosion was too much, Kahi? Before I answer, tell me this, Phil. Was it? Yes. Yes, it was. So that was pretty great.
I like that camera shot.
One thing I've been wondering lately is that just like a custom mask they use for Kahi? Because it's not in the RZ kit.
I think
Hey, that's my question for Kahi, so back off there. And then they got the trash can man.
Oh, yeah, him.
Yeah. Little jump rope.
Whatever that guy is.
He has a quite tall body for an RZ character.
Then there's D-Shadow's comic. That one, it was pretty cool. Like, had almost a video game quality to it. Just didn't make much sense to me. Like, what with the, what if I told you you were deep in enemy territory? Like, what? How did he get there?
Yeah.
It's pretty cool, though.
Yeah, true. The story has that, like, electric shield around him. That's cool, though.
Yeah, I like that part.
And then there's D-Shadow's PSA, which was pretty funny. LJ's comic has to be one of my favorites for this so far.
Yeah, definitely.
With,
the energy sword?
Yeah, his Halo laser sword.
Yeah.
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 Like, I've read some of LJ's normal comics, and I really didn't think they were that great, but this one
Times New Roman?
Incredible.
Come on.
Like,
I don't even have the time to read it. I'm just looking at it, and it's already incredible for me.
Yeah. And then at the end where the Rose Makuta and Lyra are just kind of going in through that hole in the wall, and you can really just see their silhouettes.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
I almost can't tell that it's written by LJ. It's nothing like his actual comic.
It's really not.
No way. It's totally
so then,
brought up stuff soon. Wait, is that a muffin?
Wait, what?
Where's a muffin?
What? Where's this muffin of which you speak?
This chick with the hauling mask, she, hope you're hungry, gah, move, and then she throws the muffin,
is that,
boom.
Oh my god, that is a muffin.
It's a muffin. Yay, play Titan
oh, yeah.
What in...
And now it
that's more like something Blade Ran would do with a muffin, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, then there's Makito's comic.
Which is...
I actually thought this was pretty cool.
Like, one of the things I posted this was how everyone took, like, images from Google, but he does all his own stuff.
Like, kind of like, almost like LR.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, there's that gun there, and the cigarette.
The cigarette effect was cool, yeah. Like, how he did the spray paint on the end of it.
Yeah.
And, like, that huge sword he's holding is just, like, gigantic. And then in the end, when it transforms, I think that might have been a Zanpakuto from Bleach, because I know that NR and Makito are both Bleach fans, and actually I think...
They have to somehow read that sometime.
Yeah.
Sounds
oh, and
good.
Then that one scene where the guy with the Noble Huna is holding that gun.
Yeah.
The one where it, like, shows the front of the gun, though, that's really cool.
Yeah.
I've tried
the part where, like, the sword just kind of grazes his shoulder, the Shang bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that was, like, a good example of a really good comic that was made entirely in MS Paint. So, then there are just two other comics, Zahaki's, and then Zakitano's comic. I thought this one was pretty cool, like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It introduces NK and the mercenaries, and I like how he uses a different font for each character.
Yeah.
That's something I'm doing in book two.
And if something I'm going to do in I Get XP.
Ah.
MK does that in her,
Yeah, MK does that.
Yeah, whatever.
Or Beyond the Horizon of the Mind.
Yeah.
That's
I like when they're examining their gun rack.
Oh, yeah.
That just made me laugh
cool.
For some reason.
Like, just Kahi's expression's pretty.
Yeah.
And, oh, I forgot Jolly's comic. His is called Mission Briefing. It's, like, about some general talking to him. Like, there are some grammar errors and stuff, but the text effects are pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think there's any... Oh, no, never mind, there is anti-aliasing thing. I was gonna say that there wasn't, but there is. I think he edited it because...
Yeah, he did.
Grammar errors, but... Comparing the two comics, I actually thought there were more errors in the second one than there were in the first.
Oops.
Which would be terribly ironic. Like, terribly ironic.
Terribly. Again.
And right now we can launch into... LNU, you want to take us through the Gimp Health segment?
Sure.
Okay, I have a question about that.
Yes, absolutely, Derek.
How do you get rid of the white in GIMP?
Gah!
Oh my God.
No, just don't. Just don't.
Okay, okay. We won't go there.
Please.
Please.
Sorry, right. With the assumed knowledge that you already sort of know how to use it.
Ow! Dang it.
Look, based on how your comics are pretty great.
Thank you. Hey, you can interview me later. Let's talk about GIMP.
What are you talking about? You're already a host. Don't get too conceited.
Okay,
alright.
So, L? So, I guess the first thing that most people that want to use GIMP should know how to do, or should want to know how to do, is how to make the glowing text for...
Yeah.
So, I'm going to start with that. So, first off, when you have... You pull up GIMP, obviously. You type whatever you want to in the text tool, which looks the same as it does on MS Paint. It looks like a little A... And
it's always a
delay. Wait, hold on. Let me just follow along and open GIMP so I might actually learn something.
Actually.
All right, sorry. Yeah, go on.
I have not memorized how to do this, but anyway. You pull up the... Once you create text in GIMP, it automatically becomes a new layer. So
yeah.
After that, you will create a new layer.
Which you can do by pressing Ctrl-Shift-N, by the way. Or at least on Windows.
And I accidentally just pulled up another thing again, but never mind. Okay. Once you have your new layer pulled up, it'll be, once you create it, it'll be selected. You're going to need to reselect the text layer by re-clicking on it. And then, selected, you'll go on layer up at the top, and then go down to transparency, and...
Oh, wait, can I just stop you there for a sec?
Yeah.
On the text layer... In the layers box, if you right-click it, and there'll be a thing on the drop-down menu that says layer boundary size, if you increase that and then hit center, it resizes that yellow box around the text so you can fit more glow in.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because like, how the box always goes like right around the top of the text, so it cuts it off.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah, that was just something useful I picked up eventually. So, yeah, go on.
Anyway, once the text layer is selected, you go Layers, Transparency, and then in the drop-down menu, it says there's one that's called Alpha Selection. You'll click on that, and your text layer will start flashing white and black. Then once it's doing that, you'll go back up to the top, select, and from the drop-down menu, do Grow, and then it'll say Grow Selection By, and it'll have a 1 there, and then you just edit it to whatever you want. Usually, in my comics, I do it by 5.
That's a lot of glow.
I always grow it by 2.
For small text, 1 or 2 is fine, but for bigger text, I usually use, like, maybe 3 or 5, yeah.
It just depends on whatever your preference is.
Yeah.
It's just for you. You can just mess around and see whichever you like best. But anyway, if you've done that correctly, there will now be, the text itself will not be sparkling, but there will be a grown edge around it in the same shape as it is. And then, if you want, from here, like, some people don't actually make it grow from this, and you can cut out the next step and go back to that transparent layer and then use the paint tool and just fill that area in, and it'll look like glowing text, except it won't be, like, feathered around the edges. It'll just be solid, which I have seen some people use. I don't really like it, but I know some people do, so.
I use that more.
And then
like
another thing you can do
text.
Is, like, make a solid outline around the text, then make a glowing outline around that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I do that sometimes for, like, things that say meanwhile and such.
Yeah, yeah, for special effects and whatnot.
It's just something to mess around with. But,
always mess around. Always.
After you grow it, you're going to go to select again, and 3 selections above grow, it says feather. Click on that. It gives you numbers again, and you select whatever you want to feather it by. I use 10. I don't know what other people do, but...
I would use 5.
Yeah, 5.
But...
I use 10.
Whatever you wish for that. Basically, it'll... The higher you feather around the edge, the more it'll... Or the less it'll be in the shape of the actual text. It'll just kind of get rounded out and feathered. But so, after that, you go on the paint tool... Or the paint fill, excuse me. Looks like the bucket. And select whatever color you want to make the text glow. And then just with the new layer... With the transparent layer that you created... just use the paint fill in that, and it'll create the glow. And if the transparent layer is above the text level or layer, just drag it down beneath it, and the text will go on top of it, and it will be glowing and look beautiful.
That's pretty much it.
You can also use Control comma to fill with
foreground color, and then Control period for background color. And another thing that some people, like, for instance, John Uva do. In the bucket selection, there's a thing that says opacity, and you can, it should be at 100, you can lower it to like 50 to have a semi-transparent glow around the text, and that can be useful for when you're like, you want to see the more of the background, but you also want the text to be more legible. So you set that to like 50, and just pretty much the same steps, yeah.
And then after that, you just merge it, and you're done with that.
Yep.
By right-clicking on the layers window and doing merge visible layers.
Yeah.
And that's it.
So, seeing as we've got nothing planned for you, Dark, do you want to take us through anything else in-game?
Not that I can think of.
All right. So, let's see what else we got planned. Oh,
to the A3.
All right, sure. So, Artwork 3 News Discussion, Gat, you're taking charge of this. Anything you wanted to talk about? Yep.
Dang, I don't know.
Plan anything. Yay. I think he was going to talk about his new series, though. Weren't you?
Yeah.
I got XP, I think?
Yeah.
Yeah. So why don't you tell us a bit about that?
Well, I'm not really sure when it'll be out. That's just something that you should all know first. I have no clue.
Yay.
What sprite kit are you using?
Sigma.
Sigma, yeah.
Yeah, I wonder who made that.
That brings up the number of No, Dark. No Sonic shoes.
Come on, man.
No, you do get your Sonic shoes.
I'm going to have to go with Meg on that and say Candy King shoes.
Oh, I hate you both.
That works, too. That works, too.
So, I think that brings up the count of people who use Sigma to 3.
Yay.
Yay.
Your typical muddy razor.
Enjoying ourselves with my little sprite kit.
Yay.
Publicity! Sorry about that. All right, so you want to tell us anything else?
Not really, no.
All right.
Don't have much planned for it yet.
And now looking at all your little avatars for Skype, LMU, nice.
Yeah,
for
right,
for those of you
I
who
know.
Can't actually see this right now, it's a picture of Admiral Akbar, and his fingers are caught in what's one of those Chinese fingernets.
Yes.
Which is to say... It's a trap! Yeah. So, in the meantime, since we really don't have anything else to do, we could always just talk about another series.
Alright.
True.
How about... Universe Trap!
That's
yay.
Right.
Yeah!
What'd you say?
UT.
Oh, of course.
But it's in our merry UT discussion.
Yes.
Seeing as we're all authors anyway, except Dark, who isn't an author yet.
Hey, I'm working on it. I'm working on it.
You don't know enough Homestuck, silly boy.
I'm sorry, I'm not a internet meme nerd thing. Like, I'm
it's not really a meme.
It's
just
like very...
It's like kind of a webcomic. Not really a webcomic, but...
Webcomic RPG thing, type thing.
Seriously awesome webcomic.
Yeah. And I think Topeka said, Homestuck is the lifeblood of all epicness. So...
It's very accurate.
I think that was like some
rich putting it lightly.
Kahi... Like, I don't think Kahi reads Homestuck, and Kahi was, like, complaining about how pretty much all Topeka does in IMT is Homestuck references,
yeah.
Which I personally love, but someone who doesn't know Homestuck might not like it.
Love a huge closet.
Yeah.
Especially stuff like that, like, it seems anybody that doesn't know anything about Homestuck thinks that's just, like...
She just gets completely lost when reading, like, Dark's comics or... My comics are...
I don't make so many.
Yeah, I'm planning on using a lot of MSPA references.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to follow, too. Like, if someone says, hey, you should read MSPA. All right. 1 month later. So,
yeah.
How are you? John just entered the medium. What?
Are you making fun of me?
No, it's just making fun of how long it takes to get caught up in Homestuck.
Especially
yeah.
The... Fester logs.
Yeah, like, it took me the entire summer, and that was just skimming the Fester logs.
Especially the what's it called, the things, oh my gosh, the memos.
Oh god, the memos.
Ever. There's, like, if you pasted that whole conversation onto, like, Microsoft Word or something, it would go on for, like, 17 pages.
Seriously. Crazy. Alright, Universe Trapped is... I think BC Power's newest MAS. It's also the second biggest MAS besides Civil War, Curse You.
Yeah, that's why I got
one. And it's an MAS that I started, which means that, yes, this is going to be another random time frame of me shamelessly advertising myself. So,
I mean, why not?
Well, obviously. All right, so... It's pretty much an MAS that I started to be, like, almost a bionicle version of Homestuck. I have quite a lot of authors in this. As of right now, I think it's... I have 11 right now, and 8...
I heard 12.
...coming in later. Dark. That's you. And then plus 2 PGSs and 4 IPGSs.
Wait, your Parox isn't gonna author?
No, he's not.
Okay.
Did you think he was?
Well, I hope
well, we can,
there
like,
was
no,
point.
He's way
deep. Yes, an author, right?
I have him as an author in this one other MAS I'm in, which died recently. And
yeah.
It took him, like, forever to make his comic. And then he had to quit because Gimp crashed on
it. Yeah, he actually never finished the comic, but
yeah, he was almost done though.
Yeah.
Which is a crying shame.
I would have liked to see it.
I would have. I think it was like supposed to be hand drawn too.
Yeah, that's what he said.
So him and Topeka are my two PGSs, plus Dark, who's kind of a PGS. And then the other authors I have are Ellen Yu.
Yeah.
Say hi, Ellen Yu.
Hi, Ellen Yu.
Okay, that was unnecessary. Gavla, I was actually kind of surprised that Gavla agreed to do this, because, I mean, he's like the most popular comic maker on BC Power. You'd really think he'd be interested in that. But apparently Gavla is actually not really that busy as we all think he is. Or is that
he's
just
like,
an R?
What's up? Three comics a day.
He did bang out.
And look,
his
they're head. Incredible. So, yeah, maybe that's just NR and Dark 709. I've never read his comics.
You haven't?
I haven't. Don't feel the least bit ashamed.
I've read a couple. I didn't particularly like them.
I think I skimmed his old previous 2010 Thanksgiving special. It was alright. Not that great, but alright. So, yeah, me, LNU, Gavla, D-Dude, Garda, parentheses, the guy who should be here right now, and I'm going to do that whenever I say his name. Gat, that's you.
Ikad, I have no witty comment.
Ikad, Time Lord 166, ha ha ha, which is Sage Gennaro, Jedi yeah. Bot, Toa Spirit, and Zakatano. And then, yeah, them plus the three PGSs I just previously mentioned and the IPGSs who are going to be kind of like the exiles from Homestuck, Deepar, Uber Bunny, Lotuf, and Chrono.
So I was curious, what does the I in IPGS stand for? Anything particular?
Come to think of it, I really have no idea what it stands for. I think it's kind of like,
iPod.
Let's go with that.
I think it was something Shattuck started, that guy who plagiarized my name back in 09. And, no, it's just, I think it might be, like, inconsistent or something. Or at least that makes sense.
That makes sense to me. I'll just believe that and be happy.
So, the series starts with just me in my room on my birthday, doing nothing with no furniture.
Absolutely nothing, no furniture, absolutely.
Yeah, and then it just gives me, like, a generic intro and the enter name thing, talking about how, like, it takes place during the Reign of Shadows arc after Makuta takes over the universe, so he's been having a pretty bad day. So then LNU made his comic. I'll let him talk about that.
Okay, so first of all, I make fun of your incredibly empty room.
Yes.
I plagiarize a problem stuck dance, or problem police, excuse me. And
that's an incredibly silly dance.
Gavla comment.
And then the pumpkin.
I'm gonna try to do that dance sometime.
Of course, I had to include the part about the pumpkin. How could you not? Ripped directly out of a Homestuck comic, I might add.
I was actually hoping we could change the pumpkin thing to watermelons or something.
And then he had this nice little rant at the end that went, do you have the comic up on you?
I do.
Can you read that out?
I can. Okay, let's not start this lunacy already. Everyone knows that once something is there, it just can't magically teleport away, especially pumpkins. And how do you even know what a pumpkin is? As far as you know, there aren't any of those particular fruits in your universe. So we can just stop this foolishness now before it snowballs into something out of control. And you could really drive your point home if you could just find the darn thing.
Which, personally, I think was a great spin on the original What Pumpkin, the you could just find the darn thing.
So, when I was writing it, I got to that part, and I wanted to throw in something about the pumpkin, and I was just thinking about how I put the pumpkin in the animation, and then I wanted it to disappear, and then I realized that people in the Matoran universe probably don't have pumpkins, or if they have, I haven't read anything about it, so I decided that would be a good idea.
And then there's Gavla's comic. create the series antagonist. Not sure what he meant by that.
I wasn't either. I read it and I was like, what the heck is going on?
And then I just, my character just kind of decides not to. So, then it says, collect the fat loot, which L, you referenced. Except for the fact that there is none. No loot for you to collect, just you alone in this room. Okay. And then I pretty much head off to find something to do, enter D-Dude. So...
fail to find something to do.
Fail to find something to do. I think you put the greater than sign in the wrong direction on that first one.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Put the other two the correct way, but...
And then there's this bit about how I'm not able to find something to do. Jeez, this background goes on forever. It's like you're in a never-ending universe and yet trapped, almost in a titular sort of way. That, I also noticed that in Homestuck, there was this one bit where, so far, it's just John, and he's inside his house trying to find something to do, and it said, you feel, oh, what's the word? House trapped. <Da-da-da>. So then, be bored, and then lift leg. He's debating on whether or not to put me into a silly dance, but seeing as you already did that, L, nah. Then... it was...
I was actually planning on making you do another one.
What?
Kind of like a disco.
Haha. Haha.
Do as many silly dances as we can possibly do.
And then I changed it to a silly dance with a Wii remote.
Yeah. So then it was Garda's turn, but... he hasn't gone yet.
You mean Garda, the guy who's supposed to be here?
Oh my god, I forgot. No.
No.
Yeah, so then I just made a filler. Seeing as Garda wasn't here. It was a filler, find your furniture. It shows everything floating around in non-being. Plus, my god, what's this? A pumpkin?
Oh my god.
Nah.
Oh my god, that's... blimshy.
And then my furniture just rematerializes in my room. And that's pretty much it. So... anything else we should talk about since Kahi's still unavailable as of the time being? Apparently there's some sort of TTV emergency meeting that he has to attend with Meso and Var. Anyone?
Huge Emporium.
Perhaps not. Thanks, though. So, I'm just reading through the comments on UT. Low tough. Is like blah blah huge fan already.
Yeah.
And I think guy whose current name is Diamonds Droog. I think his usual name is Trinumanuva, I'm not sure. But he's like kind of talking to Lotef about how seeing as the series hasn't really started yet, he's a fan of something that isn't really there. Just found that little humorous bit. So, Gat, how about you launch into your monologue, seeing as we have nothing else to do?
Wait, what?
Your monologue? The one that we had planned previously?
Oh, right.
Yes.
Hey, you want to feel so energetic? Try Power Thirst, the energy drink for people who need gratuitous amounts of energy, with all new flavors like chocolate energy. It's like adding chocolate to an electrical storm. Sound the alarm. You're going to be uncomfortably energetic. What's that? You want strawberry? How about rawberry? Made with lightning. Real lightning. Sports. You'll be good at them. It's an energy drink for men. Energy!
Oh, and speaking of Power Thirst, I have this app on my phone called MemePad, which pretty much just reproduces all the sounds of internet memes. And one of them, sure enough...
You want strawberry? Well, how about strawberry?
Yep.
That's awesome.
And then I prepared the second part of that monologue. What if everything you ever wanted came in a rocket can? Power Thirst, Rocket Edition, with all new flavors like banana, fizz, and gun. You've had the worst, now try the thirst. Quencher! Powers that are side effects include glowing sweat. Use your sweaty body to fuel sweet rave parties. Power thirst. Anything is possible. Bear blasting. A sport you'll invent because you'll be too energetic for normal sports. You'll feel like a fighter jet made of biceps. I wish you more, except we don't really have time.
It's now our Gap's signature makes sense.
Oh, yeah, that's it. From my,
Yeah.
Yeah. That's part of a power thirst thing. Hey, Kahi?
Okay. Yes.
So, thanks for coming.
Alright.
I think we were just going to do some discussion about 3L Squared. We had to do a lot of stalling in the hopes that you would get here, which took up about an hour of our time. So...
Yeah. Are you still in the episode? Or you haven't recorded yet, right?
I can always edit things out if they're not part of the actual podcast.
Yeah, I know, but I did come in the middle of the podcast, right? Or did I?
No, you didn't. Let me just... Alright, so, yeah, here. We were just going to do some discussion about 3L Squared with you. Is that alright?
Yeah, alright, yeah.
Yeah, for those of you who are new to the website, 3L Squared... formerly Livorn and Lawsuits, is Kahi Nova's comic series about Kahi, who's this guy who really hates lawyers, pretty much. That basically sum it up?
No, sort of.
It's more complex than that, with, like, the alternative saga and everything. And then eventually he becomes, like, this multi-millionaire.
Yeah. Basically what I tried to do with it as, you know, for main function is, like, having... Like, how would you run a comic?
So, yeah, that's pretty much it. The first comic is pretty much the start of the series about, like, one of the ways he's trying to get funding. I think he's doing a Geico commercial, and...
Yes, okay, in the first comic, what I try to do is first we have this, you know, if you're ever trying to start a business, you always have to, you know... It always starts small. I always saw, like, all these comic studios, they always came, like, sort of pre-made. Like, you know, they already had those, in the introductory comics, they already had their own studio. They already had their own characters, you know, all these people they hired to work for them, and they had a general income coming in. So I wanted to start at, like, the very, very, very beginning.
Even
before any of the characters. So basically what happened is that Kahi had just rented a studio, basically. He had rented one from, I don't know where, and then he was trying to use Geico as sort of, like, funding, you know. That's how most TV shows and everything go to start with, some advertisement or something, you know, try to get them off the air.
True, but, like, these are the bits that you don't usually see in the comics.
Right, yeah.
So,
indeed.
I think my first question would have to be, is Livorn and Lawsuits your first series?
Yes, it was my first series, pretty much, in comic making in general.
Well, in terms of a first series, it's certainly something. I'm seeing you do stuff in your first comic that I'm not sure I'm capable of doing right now. Yeah, that end scene where you're firing the plasma at him.
Yeah.
Like that. So, it's pretty much about the lawyers come to... sue the life out of him, and he gets...
Failed Geico's commercial thing, so I broke their contract, so now Geico's lawyers are coming to sue me.
Yeah, and I think the floor on the top floor breaks, and his power source, which is energized protodermis, breaks through and falls on him.
Indeed. The Geico in the storyline, I don't know if I actually touched on this a lot, but actually what originally happened, Geico's equipment, you know, the equipment for the advertisement and everything, it overloaded my power source, and that's why everything broke upstairs.
Ah, yeah, I don't think the comic mentioned that.
Yeah, I must have put it somewhere else, or I don't know. If I ever do a remake of that comic, I'll be sure to put that in.
Yeah. Like, I was thinking about doing a remake of my first season of comics, which were pretty terrible. So, yeah, anyway, he absorbs the plasma and starts pretty much just killing the lawyers. And that's how the series kicks off.
Yeah.
And then he's just, like, slowly accumulating the rest of the characters. And want to talk a bit about the Alternative Saga and what's that about?
Okay, the thing is the Alternative Saga, actually, it started, at first, I don't know how it started, really. I think it came from
the comic up right here.
As far as ideas went, but I think it started because I watched one Fantastic Four episode.
Sorry, I thought you were referring to how it started in the comics.
Oh, no, yeah, not the comics, but, like, as like inspiration goes, went all the way back to when I watched Fantastic Four, World's Greatest Heroes, because the Fantastic Four are my pretty much my favorite comic book team or, you know, book of all. And there was this one time where there's called the Contest of Champions, and they brought the Fantastic Four to this alternate plane of reality in which you had to complete in all these games, and if they lost, they'd be erased from reality. So I thought that seemed kind of fun, and also, like, you know, I also planned, at the time, I was planning with Filbert to, like, sort of combine our series or something. This is way before the ICC, and Filbert had just mentioned it to me once. But in case of that, I decided it'd be better to do something that took, like, a saga that took place in the alternate dimension. That way, I could do whatever I wanted to, and nothing would really happen in the main dimension, and it wouldn't mess up whatever continuity anybody else had. So that way I could have explosions, I could have everything, you know, I could just wipe out, I could kill characters, like, you know, you wouldn't believe, but, yeah, it would just be an alternate, it wouldn't mess up with anything. So it could fit cleanly with pretty much every other series.
That's actually quite a good plan. So as it just goes through the Alternative Saga, it's about how he's slowly getting back to his home.
Right.
And then there's something that happens along the way. I don't think you ever say what it is that leads him to becoming a multimillionaire, like, overnight.
Basically, what happens, the whole storyline is based from... Because I hadn't made a lot of comics at that time, so I decided to play on that. I see that because of the lack of comics, the stocks had gotten down, and Louisville and Lawsuits was close to becoming bankrupt. So then you have to, you know, resell their assets and all this stuff. How he sets Ozymandias and Filbert out with the task of finding some sort of way to, you know, get some funding or boosting or whatever to keep their series alive. Another one happens to chance upon this one guy called the Couch Potato Institute.
Oh, yeah.
Which, I still don't remember exactly how he came up with that, but...
Okay. Yeah, he actually looks kind of like a potato.
Yeah.
I came up with the name first, and then, like, tried to make the character around that. I think that's why I just, like, renew his mask, because it looks like a potato. And I thought, what better thing to have the couch potato in anywhere.
So true.
So, the couch potato entity is a guy who's just become, like, he's just become bored. He watches stuff that goes on in different dimensions, but lately there hasn't been really anything going on, so he's gotten really bored. So that's why he comes to Ozymandias with this contest in which he would try to send Kahi somewhere else and send him to, like, different dimensions with some challenges, you know, right before important events were going to happen. And if Kahi made it back to the thing alive, then he would, you know, because it would be entertaining, so he'd give him a lot of money and a studio. However, if Kahi didn't make it alive, then
they all get wiped from existence.
Basically every version of him from all Ultimate Dimensions will just vanish and never be heard of again. So
stakes are high, to say the least.
Yep.
So basically
Kahi tries to make all the this is way back home until he goes through all the stuff. He goes through the new dimension, then he goes to the dimension where he meets Cowman, Cowman has to be pretty much one of my favorite characters besides Kahi, because
quote NR, Cowman is awesome, so I rewarded him with cannibalism.
Indeed.
Yeah, that was just this one daily strip where Kahi comment over, and then Gavla makes burgers.
he made hamburgers.
Hamburgers, anyone? So then when he gets back, he's, like, suddenly this huge multimillionaire, and he's got like this huge studio and everything.
Yeah, what happens with that will be explained in this the finale, which I haven't gotten around to yet because I want to keep the I have it all planned in my head, but there's one effect that I really want to do and I can't do it at the moment because my Photoshop skills aren't up to it, which is why I put off making it for a while until I can, you know, like finally get a hold of it and make it really impressive.
To say that your Photoshop skills aren't exactly up to it implies that this must be something like pretty serious. Yeah?
But, yeah, I want think of something like World Beyond the Horizons of the Mind, because MK is, she's
superior.
Yeah, he's superior in pretty much every way in Photoshop skills than I am, and I still need to ask him some things, but yes.
So then there's just some comics about, like, after he's rich and famous. So then there's the Protodermis Chef's arc, which is kind of like the Iron Chef's. And
yeah, so that also it's also tying in with the murder case and Kraka and I think the most important thing after with Freel 2 was that during the January when I finished the not when I finished but around when I was finishing up the Alternative Saga, the ICC was created and like with winning lawsuits. So because of that I thought I could bring in a lot of characters that from other people's series, you know, so I could use them in different plots. So one of the things I always wanted to do was have one saga revolve around like a character that I did not create and was actually part of some other series, because it would sort of solidify the whole continuity aspect, because I don't really like main characters. Like, because they come off as pretty much PDSs. But if you have, like, I always like to use secondary characters, you know, characters that aren't really important, per se.
Yeah, like, I've done things like that before when I had my daily strip.
Yeah. But yeah, I wanted to have, like, an entire saga revolve around that. Just to, you know, like, sort of saying everybody lives in the same universe and all. So, I used Kaima because I remember Tavakai had sort of, like, discarded her, but he wrote her out of the series early on.
Yeah.
Right before he came to Tav Corp. So I thought, you know, because she's a Kraka, there was a lot of possibilities with her, and Tav wasn't using her, so I asked him for, you know, permission with that. I could do pretty much, not anything, but, you know, like, most of the stuff. So, I just liked using characters that I don't come up with. I don't really like to use characters I come up with all that much. I don't know. Maybe I just I don't know. I don't know why it's sort of weird reason, but yeah, I it's more fun for me using characters that other people have come up with and try to use them in different ways, or, you know, just making it fun for fans that have read Bear series and they're also reading mine. You know, to sort of say, oh yeah, I remember so and so. She was in, you know, this person's comic.
Yeah.
But with the Protodermis Chefs, that actually was sort of, I think it came out after the Comic Maker Duel, which I had
You made that comic for the Comic Maker Duel. You never actually announced the result.
We didn't get the results until later, actually, because NR didn't finish judging until like 6 months or so afterwards. Basically, we sort of both won. LJ made more comics, but I got a higher vote from the judges. So we sort of both won. So that means we both had to feature each other in a really long comic. And LJ did his, like, for his second duel, but I hadn't done anything with him yet. So since, as part of the deal, I had to make a somewhat long comic with him in it. And at the time, me and Gabba or me and another member who I can't really mention right now because he is banned, we were talking about the Iron Chefs. And, you know, from that, we came up with the idea of have a series to spoof it. So,
And so was born the Protodermis Chef arc.
Indeed.
And at the end of the first comic, there's a little bit in the end written in, I think that's Japanese.
Yes. I forget I don't know exactly. I think I asked either NR or another member. If you do Japanese, yeah, in order to make something that says, I think it doesn't actually say pro German chefs, but half men of iron cooking. I don't know, something like that.
Translations are always weird.
Yeah. There's no word for protodermis in Japanese, quite obviously, so...
Well, yeah, true. So, you just kind of improvised.
Yeah, we improvised with that.
And then, there's Kolanuva's murder at the hands of Kaima. And then the next comic is kind of a cross between them trying to solve the murder and the next part of the Protoderma Chef's arc, in which you find the secret ingredient, emoticons.
Yes.
Which apparently are a type of fruit now.
Yes. That actually came from LJ, actually. Me and him were discussing. I think it was during... this is before my... Before the Advent comic, which I stayed up till about 5, 6 in the morning.
Oh, finished. My God.
But before that, we were talking about different comic ideas. So LJ came up with the idea of having emoticons as the secret ingredient. Because I wanted to have a secret ingredient that nobody was expecting. You know? That, if you asked them, that would be the last thing they'd think of. So.
Yeah, I remember when we were all speculating about what it would be.
Yeah, I mean, some said
it would be
fair.
Cola's dead body.
Yeah, I remember that. I contemplated doing that for a while, but I decided to go with something more, more off the chart.
And then in the background there, the other characters who are coming in, the detectives, Professor and Fiku, which is, I believe, as you said, a tip of the hat to the Professor Layton series.
Yes.
So now every time I'm reading your comics, I always picture Fiku as having Luke's voice.
I think Professor Layton was the video game series that I was on before I got to Ace Attorney.
Yeah.
And he was, Professor Layton, I think they're both pretty much one of my favorite series. And when they announced Professor Layton versus Phoenix Wright, that was just that was awesome.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that, too.
I'm thinking about getting a DS just so I can, or at least an emulator or something, just so I can play that game. Because, I'm interested to see how they'll do the gameplay aspect, but that's another topic for another day.
Yeah.
Let's see. Yeah, the detectives, actually, aside from Professor and Fiku, they're all from different series. Sherlock Holmes is from Tavakai's comics.
Yeah.
That time was called the Comic DK's comics. And who was it? The Chicago? Yeah, Inspector Sanso.
From Spoof Quest.
He's from Spoof Quest. And then Lair and Carrie, they're from Lava Side Rahi.
Yeah, Larry and Terry.
Yeah. When I introduced him in the comic, I sort of went through a sort of argument with myself of whether I should have him in Tomorrow because it would fit the form better, or have him in Six Shade Razor. And it would have made more sense for them to be in Tomorrow form, but they wouldn't be as recognizable.
Yeah.
And I wanted at the end the reaction to be like, oh man, it's those guys. And if I just put them as in Tomorrow, it wouldn't come off as, it wouldn't come off as, the familiarity wouldn't be there as much, as I didn't use Razor. So that's why I decided to go with Razor at the end, just so, to give it some sort of, recognizability.
Alright, so then the next comic was your Advent comic, obviously.
Yes.
Which is possibly the longest comic ever made.
Actually, it's the third longest comic.
What?
As far as I know. Tabakai made this 500...
Oh, yeah, that one.
Five times the length of mine. And NR made one that was about 10 to 11 panels longer for his last Christmas. Like Christmas a year ago or the year before that?
I think I remember that.
Yeah, mine and his came pretty close, though. But, yeah. And I think there's another comic made that, I don't know, I forget. But, yeah, it's not the longest, but it's one of the longest.
So your advent calendar comic actually came out on Christmas Day.
Right.
After you pretty much pulled an all-nighter to finish it.
Yes. It was quite insane. Basically, what happened is that it was quite late, and I still had not finished my comic yet. I had part of it done, but it was nowhere near finished. And I wanted to, because this is the sort of, you know, this the advent calendar is supposed to be something that you, you know, you show your best work to everybody.
Yeah. Like, that's why I spent so much time on.
Yeah. So that's why, while I was working on it, we were in me, NR, Luna, and LJ, if I remember correctly. We were all in a group chat. And we stayed, like, I don't know, we just, the whole thing was to keep each other awake as we, you know, as we worked out tonight.
Alina's one of LJ's friends, right?
Alina's part of TTV.
Yeah.
She's a TV host, so yeah. So yeah, we stayed, I don't know, I stayed up till 5 and 6 in the morning, and NR stayed up pretty late, too. He actually fell asleep while talking, like, me and Alina watched and realized he wasn't there. So I think he fell asleep or something, but... But yeah, he didn't get his comic done because I have some time reasons. So he said he's just going to work on it and release it next year, if I remember right. But yeah, pretty much all-nighter to get it done. And actually, I didn't finish it at 5. I just got so tired I went to sleep, and then I woke up, and I worked on it all the way until like 12 or 1. And then I sent it to LR to post it up.
Yeah. So... The comic opens with Blade Rand standing in the hall, and Linnea walks in, coated in snow.
Right.
See, that's an interesting effect. How'd you do that?
Actually, I think what I did was, I do everything in Photoshop, so I don't know if it's working GIMP.
There's
but
probably
I,
some sort of...
Yeah, there's probably some way you can do it, I just don't know it.
Yeah.
I went over to Linnea, and I selected the entire layer. And then I selected it so I had a selection border around her sprite, so I wouldn't like cover for that. And then I used a brush. I think it was either a blood brush or
specific kind of brush.
Yeah, it's I think it was a blood effects brush. You can find it on either DeviantArt or PhotoshopBrushes.com, if I'm not mistaken. But I colored it white, and I changed some brushes and used it all over her, tried to get it, and then I lowered the opacity. So by the end, it looked like she was sort of covered in snow.
Hmm. All right, so, yeah, he just shows her to her room. She's planning on murdering NR, and then Kahi walks in. They're looking for Gavla,
This is the end of NR series, because Linnea always trying to, you know, do
the trigger-happy. Trigger-happy fiancé.
Yep.
So,
and I also like included some other Inara's characters later on.
She's
Mitch at the beginning there because I sort of figured that out of all people, Mitch would be the guy that would drive with the top off to his convertible all the way like, 3 hours to to LL Towers. So.
So then they break out the magic gavel ball.
Yes.
Which
was in Tabaka. It was Tabaka's comics. It was when he made the advertisement with Gav Spice, but it was also, I think, either 6 months or a year before that, he made another comic, which he escaped. He escaped from either prison or, I don't know, I forget the actual comic, but yeah, he used the magic Gavel Ball then, and then Gavla just used it in his series, but that was like 6 months back. And I don't plan to use it sometime, because it just seems so interesting.
So you guys just get like... warps the heck out of there, and then it flashes to LJ in the snow.
Yes.
And he's just really angry, because...
That one is really funny, because I was talking to LJ while I did that, and he didn't know anything, but, like, you know, I think he dislikes the noobs that we use, so I decided to pick that up to
LJ. We all.
So after I was done, I sent it to him. Even though it was a work in progress, but I sent the comic over to him via Skype, and yeah, his reaction was very funny.
I don't like sending things via Skype, because for whatever reason on my computer it always just takes like ages to load. Gattopack sent me this one picture once. It was like this tiny picture, but it took like an hour to load.
My computer took a while to load, but I like to use the Skype thing just so I wouldn't have to. Because if I hosted the Brickshelf, there's always a possibility somebody mock dodging me, you know, would find it or something. And I didn't want to spoil anything until the comic came out. So aside from like getting an ISA account, which would be just a lot of work, I didn't want to go into it at the time. Skype was the best way.
Yeah. So then the noob comes up and steals his mask.
Yeah.
Ah, it's an ICC stereotypical noob. Back, stay back, you vile cliche. So then it just got that screen, Mask of Air Gain. So, yeah, by now you pretty much know that Toa Igniter is going to be in here somewhere.
Yes. Yeah, that effect came from the Creator's Wrath, Gyoroki's old series, in which Toa Igniter would always gain masks and would lose masks, but then it always display, like, Mask of Fire gained or Mask of Fire lost or, you know, whatever.
I remember reading, I think I was first introduced to that character in that really long comic Top Kai made.
Yes.
With the big GS thing.
Yes.
That was where I first met him, because that was, I think back when his was the only comic series I ever really read. So, oh, by the way, I think Dark's here, so I'm just going to add him to the call, okay?
Alright. This is off the respirator, so you can erase this later, but is anyone else going to talk, or like...
Yeah, I was just wondering, L and Gat haven't really been here for a bit. You two still there?
Oh, yeah, I'm still here. I was doing something, I spaced out.
Ah, yeah. Okay. Okay, so now we're all here.
I can't. So, did you say something? I didn't hear you.
I didn't have much chance to talk during the long thing about the.
Oh, okay. Well, feel free to jump in at the time. Also, by the way, thanks for that kit edition. That, like, Kitsumori Zeta, because that's becoming really useful.
Was that the one you used for the doppelganger of yourself in the Alternative Saga?
Yes, that was supposed to melt itself. I wanted to like sort of recolor, even though I wouldn't be using it, but I liked how sort of how the colors were, you know, were sort of mixed together with that little bit of black, because I like black.
That is some pretty nice sprite work there, Gat.
Indeed.
So, the noob steals his mask and walks off, and NR's two brothers, Makito and Liko, show up.
Wait a minute.
Yep, at the airport.
Alright, so, two brothers show up, and...
Yes, I think at this point what happens is that, and I was supposed to pick Linnea up at the airport, or what was it, the airship port, actually, but he had to go and pick up his two brothers first, and they got snowed in, hence why Linnea had to drive all the way back. I think the flight actually came in late. I might be mistaken about that, because I haven't read the comic in a while. Yeah, either they're snowed in or the flight came in late, and I had to just sit there and wait for them.
And so, they're at the airship port. Makito's there in his two-shavedness, and Liko's got what looks like a giant DSi XL. That's the, for those of you guys who don't know what that is, it's this handheld system by Nintendo made after the DS. It's, like, crazy huge, though.
Like, it is.
I thought the purpose of handheld systems was that you'd actually be able to hold them in your hand.
The screen
So then, they show up. Makito falls through the floor. And
On that, actually, I wanted, like, some people, I didn't want to make, like, a big deal out of Makito just, like, during the background, like, while NR is having time with Liko, Makito is just bouncing all over the place. I sort of made it that NR or Liko would not really take much notice of it. Like, they had lived out, I don't know how many years of their life, and they're very used to it, because Makito would just be doing this all the time when they're growing up. It was just unusual for Makito to just be going through the floor and being upside down, or, you know. I originally wanted him to switch heads with NR, but I thought that'd be too much of a...
That would be too noticeable,
Yeah.
That would be funny.
So then there's just this bit...
It would have been funny, but I'll use that joke in another day.
Yeah. So then there's just this bit with Silbert and Oswin doing some sort of advertisement.
I always like to use... Filbert and Oswin together. I don't know. For some reason, I was thinking of them as, like, the perfect comedy team. Don't ask me why. You know, sort of like Tim and Al, or, you know, all these other people.
Yeah, so then Filbert's head catches on fire. He seems surprisingly calm about it.
I know. It actually comes, it was a tip of the hat to episode of Home Improvement, in which Tim does exactly the same thing. Tim Taylor.
I think I've seen a few episodes about that.
Home Improvement and I think The Cosby Show were one of my inspirations for Will Run the Lawsuits. That, at least for the humor part. That also Calvin Hobbs, but...
Yeah. Calvin Hobbs is the greatest.
Yep. Yes.
So then the noob is hiding in somewhere with...
He's hiding in the lower levels of the towers, actually.
Oh.
Okay. So yeah, Shadow, that was Shadow Emma's actually, he's one of the PGSs that I have not used all that much. I think I was about, you know, there was a time where I wanted to get like rid of some of my PGSs, but I at the end I couldn't really do it as much because I felt bad because most of them
I feel the same way sometimes. Like I've got a lot of PGSs.
I've got a lot of them, and not a lot of them post, and it seems like they've left. But I feel bad about kicking them because I have not used, I hadn't even used Emma before up to this point, aside from being like in a random cameo. So I decided I was going to use him for a bit, and he'll be featured more prominently in later episodes. But
he's got strange color scheme, like where the mask contrasts to his body.
That looks like my body.
Yeah, it does. Come to think of it.
Yeah.
So then the Sonic you suit. See anyway. Standing outside in the cold, Gnuclear. Do you pronounce the G in that?
Yes.
You do?
I do, but it actually not, you're not supposed to, but I've gotten into the habit of saying Gnuclear, so, you know.
Gnuclear sounds better anyway.
Is it
Filbert? Oh, I think Filbert, a lot of it's here.
Correct me on that.
Did I add him?
Dude, I'm getting him on.
So I think I just called him, so he should be here in a sec, hopefully. He said he was online. So...
Okay.
Yeah, Nuclear standing outside, and he bumps into LJ, who's lost his mask, and he's talking all weird, and there's a reference to Filbert's comic, where he was going to sing Feliz Navidad in front of the screaming fans.
Yes. You could tell that was made right after Filbert's comic, because I read that, and I thought, you know what, this is too good to pass up, so... But yeah,
Then, Speak of the Devil, Toa Igniter comes in.
Yes, Toa Nuclear is actually supposed to be created to be, like, Toa Ignica's greatest enemy. And, actually, it was...
And haven't Aquatic Lewa and Gerlicky changed their names to Nuclear and Toa Ignita on BCP?
Yes, that was also staged attempt.
I think what would have been even funnier in that comic is instead of having him speak in, like, weirdly accented English, you should have had him speak in weirdly accented Spanish.
I thought of that, actually, but it was really late, and I didn't want to go to Google Translate because I was just like, I mean, the Spanish thing, I actually contemplated on using it, but, one, it'd take up a lot of space, and not a lot of people... You know Spanish, so I'd have to have it and then have an interpretation for it.
Yeah.
So. And,
anyway, Igniter shows up and mistakes LJ for Zactan and Nuclear for Aranac.
Yeah. Which actually is sort of uncanon, because Nuclear is one of the only people that Toa Igniter will actually recognize and know the name of, but, It's sort of justified because it was like a blinding snowstorm, so he didn't see him all that well.
Yeah. So then the noob comes in with the mask, and LJ, like, grabs it back, I think. And so then there's just the scene with me and Gavel in the supermarket, my little cameo there. I'm actually referencing that in this comic I'm making. It's part of this arc I'm doing in my series where me and some of the other characters are hunting for a demon known as Jutland Bieber. And we get, like, backstage tickets to his concert so that we can, like, ambush him. So, at the very beginning, the main PGS, Nuparo 1995, or his character name's Reiku, asks me where I got the money for the backstage tickets. So, like, you remember that one time I dressed up as a cashier and robbed the heck out of that eye-offending red and blue guy, and then just got, like, flashback to those comics, or those panels.
So also, this, I think the entire comic is full of a lot of in-jokes and references.
Yeah.
Because two of the lines there are a reference to 8-Bit Theater. 8-Bit Theater is a Sprite comic series. It's not Amazing Power, but it's, you know, it's, I think it's based on Final Fantasy Sprites. It's generally regarded as one of the best Sprite comics out there, you know, that, you know, out of your entire Sprite comics genre.
Which, and apart from BCP, isn't really saying much.
Yeah. But actually, no, if you read the later ones, the effects he does are very, very good. So
the Gavel Ball shows up. I kind of allude to it being there, but I'm kind of pretending it's not. So you and Blade Ran collapse on the both of us, crushing Gavel and his groceries.
Yes.
So NR is talking to Tavakai about talking to Linnea, and Tavakai is, like, convinced that he's gonna get shot. And then, so NR references his college nickname, Mr. Smooth, which is also funny because I'm not even sure if he's in college yet.
Actually, no, I think, I don't know, I didn't discuss with NR as much. If I'm not mistaken, he didn't go to college, but that might just, don't take that, you know, that's probably, he probably did or something.
I don't know.
I mean, like, not in real life. I mean, you know, his character in the comics.
Yeah, his character.
I don't know if his character actually went to college, but.
Yeah, so just.
Yeah, but, you know, the Mr. Smooth thing is actually not true. Because even if he did go to college, when he probably wasn't as caring.
Yeah, so then it's just back to outside with the noob LJ, Gnuclear, and Igniter. LJ has the mask, and everyone else wants it, so Igniter just starts shooting at all of them. So, and then the next panel, of course, NR also got shot by Linnea.
Yeah, it's a giant explosion, but then, yeah, the next panel is, of course, inevitable. NR is, you know, shot, burned, beat up, everything by Linnea.
How'd it go, Mr. Smooth? So, that's just in the main hall, like, right before the main event, and you're there holding some drinks with Gerlicky.
Yes.
Or, is it Gerlicky or Gerlicky? I think it's...
Gerlicky. Well, that's how I pronounce it.
I think the pronunciation key that he had on the BCP comics wiki said Gerlicky, but I'm not sure.
Gerlicky. I don't know. It's sort of subjective, I guess. I always have a way of how I think this thing should be pronounced, and even though I might find out the actual way later, I've just gotten so accustomed to, you know, referring as, you know, Zakatano or Gerlicky or Tavakai. It's, I don't know. Yeah, it's just how I always say it.
Yeah. So
it doesn't pronounce Gerlicky.
And then there's Lenny Lemonade.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Pronounced it Gerlicky.
Gat walks in, and Makito and Lenny are just floating in midair.
Thank you, Norm.
You guys read Lenny's Lemonade, right? When Makito wrote that?
Yes. It's one of the best comedies ever. It's so tragic.
It's so unexpected.
Oh,
bizarre.
I know.
Then...
With Makito and Lenny, I wanted, you know, like, they're floating, and I just wanted to make, like, everybody sort of used to it, because Makito's been doing this stuff quite a while now, so, you know, they're just like, oh, hey, Makito, what, you know, how's the view up there and stuff.
And then I also love how Makito's facial expression never changes.
I know.
And he's just like so nonchalant about all the gravity-defying, law of physics-defying things he's doing. So then Ozzy the Orange comes in. I think in the original series his name was Ollie, but...
Hey, guys.
Hey, Otto.
Yeah,
Onyx, you have earned the wrath of the dragon for not sending me that memo.
Whoa. Dude. What was that?
Thank you, Unicron voice.
Oh, my God.
I apologize to interrupt, but I never got the memo.
that we were doing it today until this morning.
Not my fault.
On the bright side, you weren't the last person I sent it to.
Yeah. Next time you do something like that, yeah, make sure I'm one of the first people you send it to.
Like, the last night, I was just thinking, oh, God, I haven't told them what the final time was going to be.
Yeah.
Which I think might have been why Kohu couldn't make it. And actually, I think Kohu just came. Is he? Should I add him?
Do it.
All right. Here.
Have you guys gone through? You can do this as well. Have you guys gone through all of the other segments yet? Or
yeah, we did.
Yeah, we have. This is just the last one.
Okay.
I mean, obviously, I'm just going to be seriously cutting down on some of this for time, but
yeah.
In the meantime, we're just enjoying ourselves.
Yeah.
So we can just take our time saying whatever we want, and I'll just find some of the best stuff and keep it in the actual. Plus, maybe some background music.
The uncut version would be over 80 minutes long, so...
It would.
At this point.
At the rate it's going, yeah, it would. It'd be... Yeah. Actually, I think it might be over 100 minutes.
Well, ugh. I'm talking about just right now.
I know.
Yeah, okay. So anyhow, yeah, keep going.
So we'll just finish this up. Kahi's siblings show up. Lenny's running from Ozzy, as is a reference to the series where Ozzy shoots Lenny.
Yes.
Which is just kind of funny watching this sinister-looking orange with a pixelated mustache and a shotgun.
Yes, I don't know where I got the idea to have his face so pixelated. I just thought of it somewhere. I thought, you know what, it'd be really funny if like you could actually see it as pixels on top of an orange.
Yeah.
So.
And how that glow in his eyes isn't, not glow, gleam isn't white, it's just transparent, so you can see the orange under it. So...
Yep.
LJ breaks in, jumps up into the air out of happiness, and is promptly shot by Ollie.
Yes.
Everyone's just standing there like awkwardly. Merry Christmas from Livorn and Lost.
And Makito, of course, is upside down in the corner.
Yes. Yeah. That part actually reminded me of this.
Oh, so you're talking about the Livorn and Lost suits right now.
Yeah, we're... Yeah.
I've seen that.
What is that?
I've seen that comic. It's really cool. And good.
Yeah, it's the Christmas one.
Thank you.
Yeah, I like that one.
So,
okay, who's the high-pitched voice?
That's Kahu.
Oh. I did not expect your voice to be that high.
I'm a 10-year-old. What did you expect?
Yeah, there's a good point there.
I mean, normally I expect them to be... I mean, like, I hear their voice deeper than normal. Then, like, deeper than I would expect. When I hear you, and it's like... Did you
anyone
like,
hear what Dark just said?
What?
My brother recommended that he's playing Battlefront right next to me.
Yeah.
Oh, Battlefront, that is a game. I'm playing that.
Yeah,
as well.
Rocks.
All right, guys. All right. Back on topic.
All right.
Yeah.
Sir.
So that's just pretty much the end of the comic, which on Merry Christmas, C replaced with the ICC symbol. And so finally Kai says, so who wants to clean up the body this time? Fiend. And it's over.
Yeah. It's pronounced, I think it's pronounced in what do I know?
I think it's
you're just
Spanish.
A 10-year-old.
Yeah, traditionally in Spanish, I's are always pronounced like E.
Okay, I never knew that.
Hmm.
That's something new every day.
So, yeah, that's just pretty much that comic.
Yeah.
So, I guess we could wrap it up.
Not about
I mean,
the longest comic I've ever done, but, yes.
Kahi, I have one question.
Huh?
Your mask, it's Calyx, or Calyx, or however you pronounce it, but,
I think it is.
It's obviously not a normal Chimoru Calyx, so, I was wondering, did you Matornify it, or, because it's a huge mask, and it only belongs in that form on Noob, but.
Yeah, I originally did it, I put the head on top of the Matoran, and it was just way too big. So I sort of shrunk it down, I redid some stuff, added stuff, subtracted, not subtracted, but, I erased something. And I came up with, a much smaller shape for the Calyx.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were also just talking about when we were discussing Civil War earlier, when you weren't here, we were talking about your RZ Calyx, which, that's custom spreaded, yeah?
It is custom spreaded, but it was not custom spreaded by me. It was spreaded by Filbert, actually, which...
Filbert Flakes.
Yeah.
I wondered because you're practically a PGS in my comics.
All those times. I still need to use you as something. I don't know.
Yeah, you have my permission to destroy me, throw me down a flight of stairs, shoot me, whatever.
You can destroy Dark as much as you want, but destroying me is NR's job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. Like, people just, like, have some menial jobs, so, like, Dark will probably be, like, a garbage man or someone.
Yeah.
All right, well, thanks for coming, guys. I think that's it.
All right.
Well, bye, everyone.
Okay. Yep, bye.
See you guys next time.